This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, you show us the path of life, as the psalmist says. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So may we seek you, and in seeking you find the fullness of your joy. Amen. Good morning. And congratulations to all of you who chose to wear your pink today, as Mary and I are, on this Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete, Latin for rejoice, echoing the angel's words to Mary, rejoice, O highly favored daughter. For as we know, the angel announced that she was to be the mother of Jesus. Whenever I say that word Gaudete, I go to a derivative of that word called Gaudeamus, which means let us rejoice. Because back in my own college seminary days, there was an event every Sunday night called Gaudeamus. You see, everyone on Sunday, it was the one day of the week when you could go home and see your parents and see your family, have mom wash your clothes. And then Sunday night, everyone would come back together for Gaudeamus. It was an opportunity to fellowship together. But in the early days of my college seminary, there might be 12 to 20 people who would choose to show up for it. Because all someone would do who was in charge is go to the grocery store, buy some ice cream bars, and put them on a table, and that was it. Well, I think you know about my passion for cooking. My friend from college and to this day, one of my closest friends, Mike Hunn, decided that we would take over Gaudeamus and turn it into a gourmet event. And we did. We even switched the venue sometimes, that we had everyone take the elevator up the tower at the seminary. And on that top floor, they could look out over the vista of St. Louis and even see the Gateway Arch. It became a popular thing to come to. We would do parfaits with creme de menthe topping and candy cane crunches around this time of year. Homemade individual pizzas were the biggest hit. We would have 100 to 150 people show up just for, as we called it for short, Gaud. Well, one time, after we were well into this, we were making those individual pizzas, and we ran out of pizza sauce. Mike said, I'll just use the ketchup in the refrigerator. The amazing thing was, we did. And the more amazing thing was, nobody noticed the difference. Why? Because the event became more about the joy of being together than the food itself. We were able to create an atmosphere of joy that would sustain itself whether there was homemade pizza sauce or ketchup. Joy is about a looking forward to. A looking forward to is important for joy, especially for someone like Mary as a pregnant woman. Now, I've never been pregnant and I never will be, but I can tell you from talking to women and experiencing my own wife, there at times can be not a lot of joy in the present of being pregnant, waiting for the sicknesses to pass, waiting and waiting for the first signs of labor. All of those difficulties that come, but the joy comes in knowing that the life we are looking forward to come. Joy is about really looking forward to. That is so exciting that it impacts us at the depth of our being. It very much follows behind the screens. We have these three posters. We start with hope. And because we have hope, we have this internal peace within us, because no matter what's going on, we know that because of hope, things will work out, that God is already visiting us, as we've said for the last 2 weeks, and that leads us to that internal joy, a looking forward to. It's very much in tune with what we celebrate this time of year. It's not by coincidence that Christmas occurs around the winter solstice, because as the days get shorter, it seems like darkness will overcome the light. The celebration of Christmas is the same reason why this time of year, usually on this day or tomorrow, we celebrate that wonderful feast of Saint Lucy, Santa Lucia, because it's a message that the light will overcome the darkness. I think you know the story of Santa Lucia. She would put those candles in her hair to light the way. And all of those Christians who were practicing Christianity in a time when it was illegal, hiding out in the catacombs and the caves, and there she would get the food and she would bring it unto them. And we can picture the people in those caves, dank and dark, and suddenly they see a light is coming. And they know it is compassion. They know it is Santa Lucia coming to them. Joy, looking forward to. So it calls for us, no matter where we are, if we're going to talk about joy, to be like those people who are in the catacombs, to be like those people as we are at this time of the year when it gets darker, to know that to look for and appreciate the light and the consequent joy is to be in the darkness. This is where the Word, that is God, hovers, hides, abides, and waits. William Dawes writes this: "This time is about those God moments when we muster enough courage to greet, embrace, and even step into the darkness that is killing us. It is to risk seeing that glimmer of light. It is about stepping into that dark room between or within us, and to risk stumbling and tripping and bumping into sharp edges in an effort to incarnate the Godness inside us and between us that Jesus died trying to help us see is good enough to be true." Joy, looking forward and knowing with hope and internal peace that the light will overcome the darkness. So, it becomes a good time for us to be joy-filled. I know our Sunday school is looking at all those aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we're far away in that enumeration of getting to joy, but joy is even there now for us. And joy is a lot different than happiness. We hear a lot of songs about being happy. Joy is greater than happiness. You can be happy and not be joyful. You can be joyful without being happy. Happiness is external. Joy is internal and lasting. Happiness depends on external circumstances. Joy depends on inward character because of the hope and the internal peace that we have. Happiness can depend on what happens to us. Joy depends upon who and what lives within us. The word happiness itself, it comes from an old English word, hap, which literally means chance. It corresponds to the Latin fortuna, which means luck. You see, if things don't happen the way we want them to happen, well, then we might not be happy. Happiness is temporary. Joy is permanent and settled. And again, it proceeds from one who has that hope and that internal peace of knowing that the God who will visit us is already with us. Some years ago, Dee and I, as part of my doctoral studies, had an opportunity to go to Europe and study with the world's leading expert on a man that was simply by his friends called Jack. We know him as C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis wrote his own autobiography at the age of 56, and he called it Surprised by Joy. It is a beautiful telling of his own life story, where it is sort of like God was seeking him, but he kept trying to run away from God, and finally discovered, as he writes in another place, joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. The word joy and rejoice is mentioned in the Bible over 200 times. So there must be something to it. When C.S. Lewis is writing about Surprised by Joy, he talks about this looking forward notion of it. That once we know that God is there and always will be there, there is this looking forward to us that can give us this incredible joy that goes so far beyond just being happy. In past years, when we've talked about joy, we've used that acronym, J-O-Y. You remember that? Jesus, others, and you. And to be joyful, we prioritize things in that way. Jesus first, others second, you, ourselves, last. I saw a funny thing on the web that somebody had their Christmas decorations with that word, J-O-Y, and the wind had knocked the J over, leaving the announcement to the world, oi! Which certainly is the way we've experienced this infamous year of 2020. What a year it has been. But what we're talking about here is that J, first of all, of knowing that God in the person of Jesus is there and always will be there for us. But then that O, that others, that opportunity that we have this time of year that in many ways we might feel is limited because we can't do so much person to person as we would like. But the opportunities are still there. Those charities that you would like to support are more needy than ever this year. The people in our congregation who are lonely and alone appreciate cards and phone calls. And I mentioned it in the sermon the day that we lost the audio, but I'll repeat it. You know, if you want to do something that focuses on giving joy to others, just look through your church directory, pick out somebody that you don't know, and call them. And after you tell them, no, this isn't a solicitation to get money from you for our stewardship campaign, You can just say, hi, how you doing? I see you're in the directory. I don't have the pleasure of knowing you personally, but I just want to let you know that I'm thinking about you, and I'd like to get to know you a little more. That not only will kindle joy within the person, but within ourselves as well. I ran across something in my research. I just can't believe this. There is actually an organization called the Excedrin Headache Resource Center. They do polls. And they did a poll some time ago that looked at the things that attempt to take away our joy. And this is what they wrote for this time of year of joy robbers: fighting crowds and traffic, not getting enough sleep and changing sleep patterns, not having enough time to get everything done, spending too much money, eating or drinking too much. Well, that's one for the pandemic, isn't it? Skipping meals because of a busy schedule. Cooking and cleaning. Long plane, train, or car trips. Well, the pandemic took that one away for the most part. And this one, being apart from friends and family during the holidays. There's going to be a lot of headaches this year. But we can do some things to reach out to each other in whatever safe ways that we can, that can make a difference. Jesus promised us the greatest thing he wanted for us, that his joy might be in us and that our joy might be complete. May it be so for us. May we too, like C.S. Lewis, be surprised by joy, because we have that hope and we have that peace. Tom Schumann, who comes from the Iona community, writes these beautiful prayers that for me capture so many important themes for us. And this is a prayer that he writes that I'd like to conclude with, that talks and concludes about joy. Come, God, with us, who braves our rejection and hurt, who holds us in acceptance and love. Come, God, for us, who whispers in our ears that we, each of us, are beloved children. Come, God, under us, who cradles us in arms that never grow weary, whose lap has enough room for all. Come, God, over us, who watches in the long silence of the night that we might rest in peace. Come, God, beside us, who steadies us when we falter, who lifts us up when we fall. Come, God, behind us, who picks up all the faded dreams we drop along the way and patchworks them into hope. O come, Emmanuel. God with us, for us, under us, over us, beside us, and behind us. And we will rejoice forever. Amen.